Good morning to each and every one of you who is worshiping with us this morning, those of you in the sanctuary and those of you at home. Wherever you are, we are united as one in this very act of worshiping our Lord Jesus. So I send warm greetings to each and every one of you from this beautiful sanctuary. Deb shared about the story of fish, and Dina has brought a lot of salmon from Alaska this past Friday that she and Dale caught, and hope that this pandemic would be lifted and we would be able to gather together and eat some delicious salmon. I happened to prepare a joke for fish, so I didn't plan it this way, but it just happened. A stranger stopped his car to watch the odd behavior of a fisherman on a riverbank. First, he hooked a big salmon, but threw it back. Then he landed a beautiful large trout, but threw it back too. Finally, he reeled in a tiny perch, and with a grunt of satisfaction, deposited it in his bag. The stranger couldn't resist calling out, "Why on earth did you throw those two big ones back and keep this tiny one?" The fisherman explained tersely, "Small frying pan." He only had a small frying pan and couldn't handle the big fish. No fisherman would be so silly to throw big ones, but the humor makes sense if the fish would be regarded as small and big problems. I wonder if you would feel more adequate for small fish considering your capabilities and limits. You'd rather pass big fish because they are beyond your ability to handle. Fishing small problems is no sweat, but you'd fret over chances of catching big ones. Could we throw away some gigantic problems and live free from troubles? When a problem is grown to be great, it is already too late for us to get rid of it. What could we do with a sizable problem that is too much for us to handle? There may not be many options to minimize, but just suffer from it. And there is a case just like that that we found in the gospel. Jesus met a family with an extraordinary problem. And let's go over the description of how troubling the situation was. A dumb spirit possesses and incapacitates the poor boy. Whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down and it foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Basically, the spirit took over his will and body whenever and wherever it wanted. The boy had suffered from it not just a few days or a few weeks, but at least several years. Nor the father, or the man of God, could cure it. The father's desperate plea gives a hint to the wretchedness. He said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." If I would rephrase his word, it would sound like, "I have done everything to liberate my son. So far, no one could help him. the demon possession is beyond human. I wish you could do something for him. After Jesus cast out the evil spirit out, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" Jesus answered, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." And I would like us to pay attention to the word of Jesus. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. The story illustrates a truth that among many predicaments we face in life, some problems are too big and beyond human power. The only method with which we can manage them is prayer. Prayer invites the power of God to powerless human situations. I was just looking at a Bible lessons related to the power of prayer and found that the current pandemic could be understood under the light of Boyd's situation. There are many similarities between the two. As the dumb spirit did, a foreign and destructive entity without any compassion entered into our soil against our will. It has devastated the entire world. It is so destructive and has already destroyed so many lives. We are fighting it with all possible means we have. But in the story, it has ruined the life of the boy and the father, as we can tell it is ruining the world today. And it will not disappear voluntarily, as the demon possession would have continued if the boy was not brought to Jesus. This problem we face is beyond human, as no one could do anything to help the boy. How do we engage in the battle against this terrible virus? How do we remove it from the world? This humanly impossible situation calls for believers' prayer, and prayer may be one of our few options to handle the current situation. The boy and the father were literally engaged in spiritual warfare against the dumb spirit. We have been learning Paul's teaching about how to engage in the spiritual battle. Christian soldiers need to equip themselves with breastplates of righteousness, that is, grace and righteousness of Jesus. The world, the sword, and the belt of truth, that is, the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, that is, the assurance of salvation. The shoes, that is, every move motivated by the good news. And lastly, prayer. Paul concludes enumerating the spiritual armors in Ephesians and said, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." The prayer Paul mentioned here seems to put emphasis on an intercessory prayer. Believers praying for others. He even asked Christians in Ephesus to pray for him. Was Paul in need of prayer support? He surely was. As he stated in the letter, he was in chains, which means that he wrote the letter when he was in prison in Rome. Paul volunteers to go to Rome as a prisoner so that he could preach the gospel in all Roman colonies, including those who are in government leadership. He was a soldier of Christ fighting on the spiritual battlefront where the gospel was not yet preached, and he needed a backup from other believers. Paul was the most effective preacher of the gospel of his time. There was no one who had the courage that Paul had. No disciple of Jesus was so highly educated as Paul was. He was so proficient in the tradition and the teaching of Jehovah faith. He was an eloquent speaker and was versatile in foreign languages and could fluently explain and present the gospel to people from various cultural and national backgrounds. His Roman citizenship allowed him to travel through the entire Roman Empire without hindrance. No follower of Jesus was as dedicated and effective as he was. But this giant of faith still needed spiritual supports from other believers to fight the good fight of faith. Placed in prison, Paul was like a wounded soldier who needed backup from his comrades. The whole armor that Paul spoke of could equip each individual soldier ready for battle. But when a soldier faces a powerful enemy whom he could not fight by himself, he needs a backup. How could Christian soldier receive supports from other Christian soldiers? Through prayer. Prayer connects other believers to form a great army. By prayer, the believers join their hearts and spirit to fight against the spiritual enemy force. Paul knew this truth of spiritual battle. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane asked for the prayer support. But it wasn't just for Paul or Jesus. Any Christian soldier in battlefront needs prayer support from other believers. Let me share with you a story of two beautiful friends of faith. Albert Durer and Franz Kingstein. In German it's pronounced as Albrecht, but anyway. Albrecht was a famed Christian artist from Nuremberg, Germany. You may recognize one of Durer's masterpieces. This picture is called The Adoration of the Trinity. And as you can see, that's the called the Adoration of the Trinity. And you may have seen this picture many times before. And this picture was drawn by Albrecht Durer. He was a contemporary of and known to Italian artists such as Raphael, Giovanni Bellini, and Leonardo da Vinci. He engraved and drew altarpieces and pictures of copious biblical themes and is commemorated by Lutheran and Episcopal churches. Now, if you would show the next picture. Durer is also the one who drew the famed painting called The Praying Hands. And I'm sure you have seen that many times. The story that I'm about to share may not be genuine, as some says, but it is very inspirational and appropriate to illustrate the power of intercessory prayer. So I'd like to share that with you this morning. About 1490, two young friends, Albrecht Dürer and Franz Knistein, were struggling young artists. Since both were poor, they worked to support themselves while they studied art. Work took so much of their time, and advancements were slow. Finally, they reached an agreement. They would draw lots, and one of them would work to support both of them while the other would stay art. Albrecht won and began to study, while Franz worked at hard labor to support them. They agreed that when Albrecht was successful, he would support Franz, who would then study art. Albrecht went up to the cities of Europe to study. As the world now knows, he had not only talents, but genius. When he had attained success, he went back to keep his bargain with Franz. But Albrecht soon discovered the enormous price his friend had paid. For as Franz worked at hard manual labor to support his friend, his finger had become stiff and twisted. His slender, sensitive hands had been ruined for life. He could no longer execute the delicate brush strokes necessary to fine painting. Though his artistic dreams could never be realized, he was not embittered, but rather rejoiced in his friend's success. One day, Dürer came upon his friend unexpectedly and found him kneeling with his gnarled hands intertwined in prayer, quietly praying for the success of his friend, although he himself could no longer be an artist. Albrecht Dürer, the great genius, hurriedly sketched the folded hands of his faithful friend and later completed a truly great masterpiece known as the Praying Hand. Today, art galleries everywhere feature Albrecht Dürer's work, and this particular masterpiece tells an eloquent story of love, sacrifice, labor, and gratitude. It has reminded multitudes world around of how they may also find comfort, courage, and strength. So the praying hand you see is a beautiful illustration of intercessory prayer. The intercessory prayer of Franz and his sacrifice were the backbone of Albrecht's success. Intercessory prayer is an act of self-giving, fighting with and for other Christians. The word of Jesus, this thing can only come out by prayer, means this: to defeat the spiritual enemy that took possession of the boy, he needed to be directly connected to Jesus, the mighty warrior in battle, by prayer. This is what the intercessory prayer does. It invites the most powerful comrades and the mighty warrior to the spiritual battlefield. Who could turn the tide? How do we pray the way Paul advised? pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. To simply put, it means that we should never breathe without praying for others. Every time we breathe, we pray for others. We are called to join other Christians in the spiritual battle as prayer warriors. And this is how we, the prayer warriors, engage in the spiritual battle. We lift up our hands, we kneel before the Lord, we bow our head, we join our hands. Every time we breathe, we let out our prayers for all the Lord's people and invite Jesus, the mighty warrior in battle, to our helpless situation. Amen.